If you're going to Jackson Hole, Wyoming this winter, don't expect to see any Patagonia gear on the shelves. Not at the Jackson Hole Mountain Resort, anyway. Patagonia pulled its jackets and its vests after an owner of the resort hosted a right-wing fundraiser with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, among others. Patagonia has long taken activist stances to encourage a new kind of capitalism. With us now is the CEO, Ryan Gellert, and nice to have you.
Scott, nice to be here with you.
Good to have you. So can you first tell us about this discussion inside the company about this Jackson Hole event, how the conversation internally started, and who decided to eventually pull the products?
You know, we have a long history of making decisions that we, feel align with our values. And part of how we do that is we listen to our community. And in this case, in Jackson Hole, the community was protesting a decision, as you mentioned, by the resort owner to give voice to what we really feel strongly is hate and anti-democratic conspiracy theorists. And it doesn't align with who we are. So, you know, I know that there's this temptation to make it about politics or one politician. I see this as much more aligned with other decisions we've made, like turning off all of our paid advertising on Facebook and Instagram, which we've done for the last year and a half. And it's really about standing up to misinformation and hate speech.
Now, this kind of thing always runs the risk of turning loyal customers away. Did any of that happen in this case?
It did, yeah. I mean, I've received letters from longtime customers. I've received product back from longtime customers. So it does, and that's a sobering part of it. I think what bothers me is when people don't understand it, particularly in this world of sound bites, you know, really what underlies the decision that we made. You know, we're not an extension of the Democratic Party. We're not anti-Republican Party, but there are elements that we feel like are just totally incompatible with our values.
Right. Well, this does surely overlap with the realm of politics and parties, but I guess I want to ask you a broader question of whether things have changed for corporations making these decisions. Years ago, Michael Jordan famously chose not to take sides in a political issue, and at the time his line was, Republicans buy sneakers too. Now, I know you've made your point about political parties, but does he have a point here that, you know, we have a product that we're trying to put out to the broadest number of people as possible?
I think if that's truly your point, your worldview, which I think is a dated one, it's a little bit similar to, you know, the sole role for a business is maximizing shareholder wealth. I think we've outgrown that model. I think the notion of a purpose, a broader purpose, a set of values in business, I think is critically important. So if you are a business and your sole reason for existing is making money and offering product to as big a slice of humanity as possible, I suppose that does make sense. That's not our reason for being.
Okay. Now, I guess on this broad question of the purpose of the corporation, as you know, there was a seminal article from Milton Friedman in 1970 arguing that, you know, shareholders should be the story here. And I just want to ask you about that. He writes, the discussions of the, quote, social responsibilities of business are notable for their analytical looseness and lack of rigor. And that's the question I want to put to you. Is there analytical rigor to some of these decisions, these stances the company takes?
I think there is. You know, we spend a lot of time thinking about what we stand for and what that means. And ultimately, what are we willing to put at stake if, you know, relationships we're in or decisions that we need to make are going to be difficult, particularly in the eyes of our community, you know, our broader community, our customers. You know, I feel very confident in the fact that over our 48-year history, we have consistently demonstrated commitments to environmental topics and increasingly more socially oriented topics that we think are foundationally important to saving our home planet. So I think that we really try to challenge ourselves not to run from tough decisions when we feel like they need to be made.
Okay, now one area that's in the news now is the abortion law in Texas. Patagonia recently joined other companies, among them Lyft and Ben & Jerry's, opposing this law. For a corporation to kind of take a position on this, do you anticipate it's going to have any real impact? It's going to really change minds?
I don't know that it's going to change minds. I think in the polarized world we exist in today, probably not. But I don't think that that's the sole calculus. Patagonia supported Planned Parenthood for decades. And like a lot of people in the country, we were shocked by a law that is effectively trying to restrict women's rights. And the way they've done it, I think, is particularly disturbing. And so we heard from our employees in Texas that were frustrated and they were enraged. So we felt like we had an obligation to our community, to our employees, to take a position on it. You know, is signing on to the ACLU letter going to change minds? I'm not sure. Probably not. But I think it's important to stand up and be counted.
Hmm. I want to ask, I guess, about your thought on, you know, capitalism and where Patagonia fits into this. Patagonia has also been active on voter rights. We've talked about abortion and some kind of policy issues, environmental issues. Now, how do you think and speak about the better capitalism that Patagonia is espousing? Are there certain, for instances, that you say, we should really focus here?
I think that the place that is most natural for us to consistently participate is on protecting wild places. You know, you mentioned voting rights. I think that it is foundationally important to all of the work that we do to protect our planet that people have access to voting and that people are engaging in the opportunity to vote. And so we've been encouraging our community to vote with the planet in mind for decades. You know, we co-founded a movement called Time to Vote, which has got nearly 2,000 companies involved in it now, to really focus on low voter turnout. So, you know, I think that these issues, even if they're a little bit further removed from the obvious place for us to contribute, I think are foundationally important to the broader mission.
Okay. On the climate issue, Patagonia has been outspoken on this. It's encouraging customers not to buy too many things on Black Friday. A company says, you know, go outside, don't shop. But surely you know the economists who say, as far as this planetary problem of climate change, you know, one single decision by one single customer is just part of the noise. And where the scale is in policy, where the scale is in finance. I guess the question is, how much can one customer, one company really do? This problem is so vast.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think it's self-limiting in many ways. I think that question's intentionally framed that way to make us all feel sort of impotent, like we can't do anything. And then there's a ton of truth to the question you asked. You know, I believe that the scale and complexity of the problems that we have created as humans around the climate and ecological crisis are such that we need government providing leadership, government doing what the whole concept of government was created to do, which is solving some of our biggest issues. We need individuals acting in their individual capacity. We need individuals acting in their part, playing their role as part of civil society. And we need the business sector leaning in. It's why I'm, you know, really, really focused on supporting the pieces of the current budget reconciliation package that are focused on climate. And, you know, part of that is we support raising the corporate tax rate and ending subsidies for extractive industry to help pay for the federal funding that's needed to address the climate crisis.
Yeah, and finally, I want to ask you more about the business sector broadly defined. What are you watching is going forward for where both the conversation goes on the purpose of corporations and where the action happens? We hear a lot about it at Davos. Some of the largest company names on Wall Street are actively engaging on this. Executives at the Business Roundtable have joined this debate. Where's an interesting direction you think this debate is going to go in the future?
You know, I think that ultimately we've created problems that are large enough, complex enough, and existential in their threat to humanity that I think we're going to have to use all the levers in society to get there. And I think business is arguably the biggest lever. If it's not, it's right there with government. I think that we've seen, you know, a real sea change in the dialogue around the role of business, and I'm encouraged by that. We are seeing a lot of money move into climate funding in a variety of ways, and I'm encouraged by that. But I do believe that all of those positive trends still remain a fraction of what's needed as we look at what we've created.
To what degree are these big, big questions personal for you?
I think these big questions are incredibly personal for me. It's hard for me to imagine anybody that's not lying in their deathbed with no heirs that find this anything but personal. I've got two young kids, I've got a family, and I'm part of a community that I care deeply about. So, you know, my life's been defined by spending time in the natural world. And so they're incredibly personal in every way.
Ryan Gellert, CEO of Patagonia. Great to have a chance to talk to you, sir. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thank you, Scott.